This is On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink, mom of four boys.
And I'm Janet Allison, teacher of many more. Thanks for joining us as we share real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men. Did you know that 93% of kids don't eat enough fruits and vegetables? You may have one of those children like my niece who ate only macaroni and cheese for about 6 of her formative years. Many kids kind of fixate on one particular food, and you are tearing your hair out, dear listeners, trying to make sure that they have a balanced diet. I will say from the benefit of the years, my niece now is a grown woman and has two healthy kids, so that mac and cheese sustained her. But our kids need more nutrition than we are able to give them in their regular diet.
Which is why so many of us look to vitamins to fill those gaps. And so many of us, myself included, have been dissatisfied with what we find on the shelves. We recently connected with a new-to-us company called Hiya Health, and they have chewable vitamins for kids that are non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gluten-free, nut-free, all of that. And they fill in the gaps in modern children's diets in a chewable vitamin that kids love. My guys liked it, and my guys are kind of picky.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so they've been kid tested by your guys, by your nieces and nephews. This is a pediatrician approved, super powered, chewable vitamin. It was created by two dads that were tired of children's vitamins that actually cause more problems than they solve. So with these vitamins, with Hiya Health, you know that you're getting zero sugar and zero gummy junk, and yet it tastes great and it's perfect for picky eaters.
We've worked with Hiya Health, and we have an exclusive offer for you. If you go to Hiya Health and use the On Boys code at checkout, you can get 50% off your first order. Go to Hiya Health, HiyaHealth.com, and enter On Boys to get that 50% off. The discount will be applied at the checkout.
So get full body nourishment so that your boys can grow into healthy adults. That's HiyaHealth.com/onboys. Do you have a son who maybe doesn't fit the mold? Maybe he likes pink. Maybe he prefers dolls. Maybe he'd rather be dancing than doing anything else. Challenging the gender stereotype is the passionate mission of our return guest, Sassy Harvey. Last August, we interviewed Sassy when she was just 3 weeks or so into her mission to change the conversation around boys, and especially around hashtag MyBoyCanDance. We've invited her back to hear about the explosive growth of this very important movement. Welcome back, Sassy.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
I listened back to our interview last year, and you were just kind of at the beginning of this movement and making it up as you went along. And we've watched your growth over this year. I think maybe you didn't have the idea it was going to get as big as it was going to.
No, I think you saw it more than me. But yeah, it has been a fantastic year. And so much has happened and so much has changed that I forget. Once you actually start discussing it, once we go through, it's so much has happened and it's been fantastic. But yes, it's definitely grown a lot quicker than I anticipated, but in a very, very good way. I can't ever wish anymore. This has been fantastic.
So I want to put this into context a little bit. We had you on last year before the big brouhaha with the prince, and he took ballet and he was ridiculed by adults on national, international TV. You were talking about this then. So there's that. And you illustrate so vividly for us the power of a mom and of moms of boys. You started this because you have a son and you want the world to be better for him and all other boys.
Definitely. And that is my drive entirely. It all stems from my son. So I pretty much, the whole My Boy Can started, it actually started April last year.
Okay.
And I spoke to you guys, as in the Facebook page started in April. And it was just me, a little old mum, kind of moaning really that my boy was facing negativity because he liked Barbies, he likes princesses, and he was doing ballet at the time. And people, adults specifically, felt they had the right to make comments. And it made me question myself as a parent. It made me question what we do for gender stereotypes and how enforced it is, and the impact that would have on my son. And I really wanted that to change for him, because I just didn't want him to feel that he couldn't do something because he was a boy, because society deems certain activities for girls. And it's ludicrous, really. The activities are just activities. They're just things that anybody can enjoy. But because society is as labeled things as gender, and if he goes against it, often people feel that they have a right to make comment. And that can pass quite a lot of negativity and stigmas that they end up facing. And I just don't want that for my son. And then the tip of the iceberg for me was the day he decided he didn't want to do ballet anymore. Because he had been told that he's a girl for doing it and a gay. And I just couldn't.
And he was four.
To put it into context, he was four. Yeah, so I was going to say, put it in context, he was 4 years old. So he isn't like 14, he was 4 years old. And so for him, he stopped dancing because he was so upset. Because actually, when I reanalyzed it all. When you look in the room of when he was going to ballet, he was the only boy. Everything was very driven by the girls. All the props that were being used were very pink and girly. All the girls were in their tutus and their ballet slippers. Again, it wasn't necessarily the dance school. It was the parents at the time. There was no uniform, but you know, it's lovely to see the little girls in their little tutus. I, as a parent myself, I think I would do exactly the same. But for him, he really, once he got that information of being told it's for girls, once he processed that within that room, it felt like it really was. So I kind of put myself on a mission to change his mind.
And then what you found was that there were other boy dancers at other dance studios in Portsmouth, UK.
Yes.
And yet there's like one here, two over there.
Yeah.
And so your mission began, I think part of it was just to bring those boys together. You were going to do a photo shoot. Did that happen?
Yeah. Yes. So we did. We did this amazing photo shoot. It's so much. So basically, I put it out there in my city, which is my hometown in Portsmouth, because it's exactly that. I wanted to see how many boys were dancing. And back then I thought it was about 20, and it was 140 boys came forward saying they were just the people that came forward to say they wanted to take part. And we photographed 54 boys in total, because we just had to set a date and hope people could come.
Right.
And it was, the images are spectacular. And on our Facebook page, we featured the images anyway. But what we really got from it was that coming together, because we invited everybody at the same time. They didn't have time slots. Everybody turned up at the exact same time and kind of waited their turn. But while they were waiting, the families and the boys themselves all got to know each other. And what was great was this was an age range from age 3 to 21.
Oh.
So it was a huge range of ages. So their stories and just them hearing that they all come from different dance schools, and some of them had seen each other at competitions and things like that. So the discussions just naturally happened, and community spirit just naturally grew. And between us, we all became a really nice community of people when we realized the power of us all coming together and just hearing that actually we're all facing a similar issue, and we wanted to kind of face that a little bit head on. So it was fantastic. Magical.
Yeah. The power of coming together, and the power for kids to see other kids doing what they're doing.
And for a 3-year-old boy to be able to see a 21-year-old man who is still dancing, he can see that future for himself. When he's alone in a dance class with a bunch of little girls wearing tutus, he can't see that.
Yeah, That's exactly it. And I think, and this is what happened. It was so funny. I'm such a cruel mum. My son came along to the photo shoots and he asked to take part. And I said, no. And it sounds so cruel. But I said to him, no, because these are dancers. They all turned up in their complete dance gear. They looked phenomenal. And I just said to him, you don't dance anymore. And it was really, really cruel. I mean, but actually the photographer did end up taking snaps of him while he was like messing around in the background. But so he is included in it. But I just wanted to kind of reiterate to him that this was a project for dancers and really inspire him to be like, actually, this is something I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it worked because then he went back to it. So,
oh, yay.
Yeah. It did take, it was the end of the year. What was lovely, what we decided to do with the photos, I didn't want it to just be, there's the photos, let's just put them out on Facebook and things. I asked the boys to all come together for a showing. And we invited some of the boys that took part in the photo shoot to perform. So we ended up having an evening of all the parents and whoever they wanted to invite and the boys who took part in the photo shoot all came. And so I think it was 165 people came to, and we had like a mini auditorium, like in the school, and they put all the seats out. And so all the people were there together. And then we did like a projection slideshow on the back of the screen in between, because it was such a big project. We had five photographers, because it was all free as well. So these are people that volunteered their time. So we had five local photographers volunteered their time to do this. We went to five different locations around Portsmouth, our hometown, just so that it was different and to showcase that this was our city, as well as these boys live within the city. So between each photo shoot, each photographer's slideshow, we invited a couple of the boys to perform. And again, it was lovely because it was the wide range of genres, wide range of ages. Some were groups, some were duets, some were solos. And so it just really became like a huge celebration of the boys that dance within our town. It really set like the beginning of My Boy Can, because mm-hmm. once we did that, that's when we realised this needs to carry on. This can't just be a one-off project. This has mm-hmm. to be a continuation. So
I want to address your I'm a bad mom thing, for instance.
Yes, please.
You are not a bad mom. Not even close.
And, Thank you.
As parents, let's face it, manipulation is a tool that we all use. All
Definitely.
Of us.
Definitely.
But there is a huge difference between manipulating or arranging things to get your son to do something that you want him to do that he's not interested in. And we've all seen that play out in our societies, right? You know, a parent who expects their son to be the football player and the kid who has no interest whatsoever. What you're talking about is you saw a son who lit up at something, was interested in it, and that dimmed due to all of these societal pressures.
Yeah.
And you managed to create this whole environment to show him it's okay. And you created a safe space for him to re-engage in that and to rediscover in that. That's amazing, Sassy.
Thank you. Yeah, I do totally agree with that. And I do, I'm very, very proud of the fact that I managed to do that for him. But also that he continues to be the drive that I need daily, because everything mm-hmm. I end up doing, I always end up throwing in front of him just to make sure that it is relevant, that I wonder his opinions on things. Everything that we're doing now, we've started interviewing male dancers through our Facebook page and things. And I always ask him, is there anything you would ask as a 5-year-old? Right. What would you yeah. want to hear? Just so that we're making sure the conversation is things that will engage with our viewers and our followers, so that the boys are continue to be inspired, not just my son, but all the boys that have engaged with the page. I think it's really important.
And I popped into a couple of your interviews in the last few days, and I really encourage listeners, if you have a son who's interested in dance in any way, make sure that they are hearing these interviews, because you are speaking directly to the boys and young men. And one of the boys was differently abled, so you had a conversation yeah. with him. And then there was the younger man who is a Disney dancer for Disney. And and the mom was there. The moms are with their kids, so it's not just the boys on the interview. But the mom was saying Disney wouldn't have all these productions. They wouldn't have the street parade and all the dances and everything if there weren't male dancers. And I think we think, you know, we're not making that arc from the little four-year-old in his short t-shirt in the studio to, hey, we've got, you know, amazing ballet dancers. Like, somebody has to hold up the women and spin them around on the stage, and somebody has to be doing the performances, the stilt walking and all the, you know, whatever happens in the Disney parades. And there has to be a culture that inspires and is training and educating and nurturing these boys to become these young men that we need.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, I mean, I interviewed some ballet dancers today from Matthew Bourne's New Adventures. And they were saying that, it took a while for their families and friends to realize that they were taking this seriously. And that sounds really odd, but the minute that people realized that they were good at it and they were getting somewhere and there was going to be opportunities is when all of a sudden the attitude changed. That's the bit that we need to kind of work on, because at the moment the attitude is at the age of when they're a child and they're really young, you know, it's just a phase. It's just something they might enjoy. But yeah, it's, I don't know, there's still that discussion to still be had, to keep, like you say, keep inspiring them. Because once they get to that, it's probably a teenage, once people start realizing that actually there is a career in it and this person's probably going to go far, that negativity and the kind of stigmas they face changes slightly, so that they can actually really get the 100% support that they needed. So yeah, I think we're going to have to keep challenging that, but it's there and it is happening, and the change is definitely happening. It's just,
this is where we all can help and do our part by supporting organizations and efforts in our own home communities that do provide homes and opportunities for boys who are interested in theater, in dance, in singing. School productions are so valuable for kids that this is their thing. It gives them a chance to hone those skills, to connect with the other kids, to have a place where it's safe. Janet and Sassy, I happen to know a young person who has been a dancer at Disney from my very small 5,000 people now, you guys, town in rural Wisconsin. And partly that's because he, after high school, while in high school, he became involved with a program here called Kids from Wisconsin that my son was also eventually in. But it's basically a singing, dancing troupe of kids aged like 15 to 21. It gives them opportunity. And
yeah,
I can't give them a lot of money. They are definitely struggling this summer, as are so many other things. I mean, due to coronavirus, like, performance opportunities are not what they were.
Yeah.
But these things need our support, because you're right, Janet. Like, dancers don't spring forth fully formed and talented at age 18 or 20.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about, so you're doing these interviews with dancers. You're also having dancers being workshop leaders.
Yeah. So so basically, at the beginning of the year, we decided, like I said, we did the photo shoot and we brought everybody together. And when we spoke to everybody, they really wanted it to carry on. So I liaised with a local theatre, and we basically, we used their studio, and we'd already launched workshops with the boys within Portsmouth, where we were inviting male dancers from within the industry to come into the space, and it would be a whole day of workshops. So we started in February, and we had our very first, we had the first one in February, and we had three performers from within the industry. So one was from West End, one was a street dance, and one was contemporary lyrical, and they're all male dancers. So we made sure all three of them were different genres, and they spent the whole day with us, all these boys, and they just workshopped, and it was great, and it was great fun. But they also got to do Q&A with these men, just be really inspired. And we had planned to do that for the rest of the year, but obviously the pandemic had other ideas. So due to the theatres and the spaces and everything being closed, we decided that, I mean, everything's postponed. And to be fair, I think majority of it's going to be postponed until next year, which is very unfortunate. But we decided to start working on getting these activities happening online. So this month we launched some online workshops, and the beauty of the online workshops is it reaches more than just within Portsmouth and the surrounding area. It means that we are actually able to reach anybody that wants to take part. And on My Boy Can Facebook page, we have many followers which are from abroad, quite a few are from USA. So our timings and things means that everybody around the world can kind of participate, which has been lovely. Absolutely lovely to see. So yeah, so we're carrying on with that for the next 2 months. And we, like you say, we just invite lots of different genres of dance, lots of different male professionals. And it's not just dancing. We've also got males makeup artists and people that are doing drag workshops, like drag makeup workshops and things. So it's for anybody. It's just anything really where boys might want to have a try, but are a bit worried too. We're putting it online so people can have that safe space. And then they also get to go into a Zoom meeting and they get to see like-minded boys. And it's lovely when you see all the boys' faces pop up on the screen. You can just see it does fill them with that kind of, oh my goodness, there's loads of us. And you can just see it kind of, it reignites that passion of being like, oh, I'm not the only one. This is great. And then they have fun doing the workshop and they're at home. So they're nice and safe. And yeah, and it's been lovely to see.
Talk about the logistics of this. So how do I get my boy involved? Do I have to go somewhere? Do I have to register? Or what technology?
All you have to do, you go straight to our website, which is www.myboycan.co.uk /take part. And or if you just go to the website, click on the take part bit, and then you just register. We've got a small fee so that we do pay them to keep there. Yeah, because obviously all their shows have stopped. So while we're getting these men in, we're making sure that they're getting a wage. But apart from that, yeah. But saying that, it's only, I mean, it's £2.50. So it's not, it's a couple of dollars. It's not like extortionate. It's just lovely. And they get 45 minutes in a Zoom meeting. To be fair, it probably goes over if I'm a little bit honest. So they get 45 minutes of dancing, but then yeah, there's the opportunity as well that they can speak to the man who's teaching. And like I say, it's lots of different genres. We've got ballet this weekend, we've got jazz, like a jazz fosse in Ooh. A couple of weeks, and then we've got street dance at the end of the month. And next month we're looking at lyrical, and then like I say, we've still got the makeup running alongside that. So we've got the drag look, we've got the everyday kind of bit of contour. I swear I need that.
Right?
These boys are so good. These boys are so good. And then this is what I mean, it's really gone crazy. And then on top of that, we do the My Boy Can Chat, which is live on Facebook, and we do that on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And that's what Janet was saying, where we've invited people along, and they've ranged from all different, we've had mums and sons come on, it's all different discussions, and the topics are just anything to kind of discuss about boys that are facing certain stigmas and how we kind of overcome that, but just talking to real people within the world and just finding out their experience. And then some people have come out from within the industry to say, well, they have experience, but actually this is what they've managed to go through and get to the other side and where they are now. And it's inspirational. It's been, like you say, it's been amazing, actually. It's been quite an opportunity.
Well, and you've really just so amplified it. And, you know, it's the need was there and you stepped into it with 1,000% excitement and drive. And it's just been, it's lovely to see where it's gone. I'm curious if there is someone who stands out for you over this last year, maybe their story that's really inspired you.
Oh, that's a really good one. Actually, it leads me on very nicely. There are a couple of young boys who have been with us since the photo shoot, and they were the very first boys that I met. And I think they'll always hold that special kind of place in my heart just because they were the first ones that I met, physically outside of the project, and they were at the photo shoot. And I have to explain, the very first photo shoot we did, it was pouring with rain. Like, we had so, it was lovely weather all week, and that day that it's just the heavens opened, and we were there with their families, and all of us turned up, and it's 10 a.m. and it was absolutely hammering it down, and we were doing photo shoots outside, and so we all huddled, and we'd never met each other before, and we're all huddled in this really small shelter trying to dry, knowing that in a moment everybody kind of had to go out in ones and twos, and the boys were in their leotards and their shorts and their ballet slippers, and you think this is an experience all in itself. And the boys that did that, there was there's some teenage boys, and they stayed with us for the whole, it was 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they stayed with us the whole time, because we asked, because they were a bit older, if they would mind grouping together, because there was a couple of them, and doing a photo shoot with just those three, and taking some images of just them. And they did, and they were such troopers. But at the end of it, no matter how wet and sodden all of us were, the best bit for me was just hearing them say, "Oh, that was just truly amazing," and they just loved it. And they have actually become associates now within the program. We have like an associate program, and they've stayed with us. And it's for me, with them, they've been so honest, and so they've faced bullying, and they still face bullying. They are teenage boys. They are in senior school. I think that's high school.
High school.
You guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they do face negativity, and they get teased a lot for having to wear tights, and teased. They're just misunderstood a lot. And yet their attitude and their positivity and this, the amount of energy they radiate as soon as you see them and you speak to them, dance is their life, and everything they do is just, they love it, and you can't help but just like suck up all that energy yourself, because you just get drawn to it. And for me, that is what's so important, is the fact that they're so resilient to all this negativity and so open about it as well. They're quite happy to talk about it, because they really believe in dancing. They really believe that boys can do anything, and they really, really want to make sure that no other boys go through this. So they're really passionate about delivering that message. And so for me, I think they completely help me. And the great thing is, because they're associates now, we meet up with them once a month, so I get to hear what they need from us, and what kind of extra support they might require. So I think it's when you meet real people, I think, and you see
there is still the impact, pervasive stereotype in our society that boys won't talk, boys won't share their thoughts, emotions, feelings. And you know, there's some truth to that. Of course, not all boys want to talk about, you know, their deepest emotions, but I think there's so much boys don't talk because we haven't created space for them to talk, because we've communicated we don't care, or this isn't okay to talk about. In doing this, you have made room and said, "I really care. I really care about what's going on with you. Can you tell me what's going on with you?" And they're talking and they're sharing. And I think that our boys are hungry for that. Would you agree? Has that been your experience?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I totally agree with that. I think often boys aren't given that space. And I do think there are attitudes that, and I think it's a generational thing. I hate saying that, but I do think it is a bit of a generational thing where we don't necessarily approach the boys to ask how they're feeling or go through those motions and communicate. And I think that's something that we're all learning to do more, is that need to open up and communicate and to go through things. But I do think, projects like mine, there's definitely other projects out there. As soon as you give the platform kind of for them to kind of dictate it and for them to be able to share with what they're going through and things like that, that it is like a can of worms. All of a sudden they have so much they have to say and they want to help and they do. But I do think it's being given like that space, which I don't think we do enough at the moment, but I do think that is changing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I think this is, again, it's so important for me within My Boy Can, even for us, we haven't utilized enough giving back the tools that the boys need. So from going forward, as soon as we're allowed to have the workshops with people in venues, yeah, in the same room, I know. One of the really important things for us is looking at having like a 45 minutes of looking at mental health and well-being and just kind of building the resilience for the boys so that they find tools, because it is life to come across negativity. People mm-hmm. will always challenge people always have opinions that are going to contradict what you think, and I think that's okay, but I think it's being given the right tools to be able to support you in getting yourself through that. And I think that's what's really important, and I think that's what a lot of boys don't have at the moment. I don't think they know how to navigate through negativity. I think they internalize it, and I think they become quite angry, and I think that's the bits that we just need to tap into a little bit more so that they have that outlet. They know they can still have feelings and emotions, and they can still get angry, and that's fine, but finding a more positive way for them to go through it rather than internalize it.
That is so powerful. Oh my gosh, I just have chills. That is so powerful, Sassy, because you're not only supporting them for their passion and what they love, but giving them the tools to counteract bullying for themselves and to protect their brothers as well, and speak up for maybe a younger dancer who can't yet speak up for themselves. So this is just powerful, powerful work. Oh,
and it's, thank you. It starts with dance, but of course it's bigger than that. You know, as you said,
yeah,
building tools to cope with setbacks and challenges, resiliency, that is a life skill that we all yeah. need. It's something that I am still working on at, you know, 40, whatever I am now, 7 or 8. So the sooner we can help build those skills in our boys, the better equipped they're going to be to deal with everything moving ahead, whether it's being bullied for dance or a breakup, or they didn't get a part they wanted, they didn't get the job they wanted.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And it's one of those things, I think, later in life, the older you get, we kind of seek that ourselves, and we find our own ways to be resilient, and you kind of learn that with age. But I do think if we did this with our young people now, we'd find that they would just be a little bit more stable in themselves. And I mean, we can't hide the facts, and this is where it really resonates with me. We can't hide the fact that suicide is the biggest killer of men. And for boys and young people, then they're not talking as much. Like, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in order to just kind of change the attitudes and open more people up to realize that they can reach out and they can communicate. And I think it's definitely become a passion of mine. I think it's something we really have to keep working towards doing. So yeah.
Janet and I are both sitting here.
I know.
Our eyes are kind of and starry, and our mouths are dripping open, because we so appreciate the work that you're doing, and it resonates with us, and we're kind of speechless and fangirling over you right now.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, it's for me, it's just amazing, like I say, that it was just on a one night, I just got the whim to start moaning on Facebook, but under this My Boy Can umbrella. And now yeah, just how much it's grown, and obviously it has only been a year, it's really reignited in me what's important and what I want to achieve, and just the direction of the, because it's now officially a company. It's just, it's now become, this is my life, this is my job. So yeah, it is everything to me, but I believe in it all. And like we said at the beginning, I think the real importance for me is I'm paving the way for my own son. So this isn't just, it's very personal to me, because I'm going through this journey myself. And so any parents of any boys, any stories I hear, any experiences they've had, anything, I really do take that in myself, because I'm on this same journey. I'm learning myself. So any tips I can get along the way, or anything I can help put in place, not just for me, but for others, is I think just as important. And I think that's what we have to remember. We are all on the same journey, but sometimes we just need a little helping hand with each other.
Absolutely. Amen. I look forward to checking in a year from now.
I know, this is a regular.
And just imagine what you will have accomplished and achieved, and the lives that you will have changed in the year to come. Wow. It's
Thank
just,
you.
You are on the, you're just on the path of a mission to challenge the mainstream, challenge the stereotypes, and this is how change happens from the ground up, from a passionate mom who wants to do it for her boy and then has the bigger vision that and the bigger heart and the willingness to just jump into territory unknown and just be like, let's try a photo shoot. Let's reach out and look yeah. it. Oh my goodness. Yes.
I know.
People want to help you. You know, if people who yes. are listeners are inspired by what you're doing and they want to support your work, how can they do that?
Yeah, so them. I mean, I would come to my IR social media. So we're on Facebook and we are on Instagram at My Boy Can. So just type those in, join the conversations, join and follow and join the discussion. Within the Facebook page, we have actually got groups. So we've got a My Boy Can Dance group, which is a group of parents and teachers and boys that do dance, and that though all the discussions kind of tend to be around dance. And then we've also got a My Boy Can group, which is more tailored to boys that just do activities that are deemed for girls. So a lot of it is actually boys that like to dress up in princess dresses, or boys that like to play with dolls and Barbies. And we kind of all support each other within that. And we have discussions again, if boys are facing negativity, it tends to be the parents will come on there and say, we've had this, how has anybody had this, how do we deal with it, or just hearing how the boys are, or even celebrating in it. It's so nice just to be in a like-minded community sometimes, mm-hmm. that you know that you're not the only person, and this is normal, and you know your child is absolutely fine, and just let them be who they want to be. And sometimes you just need reassurance from other parents to know that is the case. So social media definitely are the way. We do have a website, so if you do want to take part in any of the events, then do go to our website to book. But otherwise, everything is on our social media pages, and that is the best way to communicate with us. And you'll see me there quite frequently at the moment doing my boy can chat.
I don't know if you can fully appreciate it. I know you can feel it, because Sassy has this energy and enthusiasm and love that comes through. And it's there, it's present in your chats with the boys. This is why we love talking to you too.
Thank you.
I'm really curious. One more question.
Yeah, of course.
You are talking to the boys. There's what you thought might be on their minds. What have you learned that has maybe surprised you in actually engaging the boys in conversation about what's on their minds and what they need from us being parents in society?
I think what surprises me most is the it is the resilience side. I think it's a parent thing. I'm so petrified of my own son going through negativity, because I get really worried that it's going to have the most negative impact on him and his personality, and I get really scared about that. And I think that's a parent thing. But actually, when you hear the boys, and even though they have faced negativity, when you hear that they've still got their passion for what they do, they're still driven by it, they still love everything about it, and they've got such a I don't know, it's just this outlook on life where, and it is, again, it's a generational thing. They are completely in a different generation, but listening to them, it really fills me with hope and inspiration myself as a parent to think it's okay. Actually, they're going to be okay. The youth are okay. They're probably a bit stronger than us in their mindset sometimes because they're just so, oh, it doesn't even matter. And you think, my goodness, can you hear yourself? Because it's really liberating to hear that. So I think that's what I've learned and taken away from it. So it makes me less worried about my own son and just starting to now enjoy the journey rather than worry about the journey. And I think that's what I'm taking from it. I'm starting to see that he'll be okay. He has to go through this and he will get to the other side and he'll be fine. Yeah, it's just one of those things. But I think that's what I've really, really learned. It's inspiring in itself. So just listening to the boys is inspiring in itself.
So much hope. And I love what you said, you know, enjoy the journey. Don't worry about the journey. Yeah.
And that's a good, easy, short mantra to keep in mind, because as a parent myself, my brain can go into freak out mode very, very quickly. And I wrote this down as we were talking, enjoy the journey. And I guarantee I'm going to have to remind myself of that at least 3 times today.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Enjoy the journey. When you start feeling overwhelmed, take a deep breath, pull back, enjoy the journey.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. And that's the great thing. The boys are enjoying their journey as well. And even on the toughest times, they are taking so much out of it. And once, like I say, once you speak to them, they've learned lessons and they're like 12 years old sometimes, and they can teach you things that you think, oh my goodness, I didn't learn that until I was 35. How are you saying this at the age of 12? Right. But they're just intuitive and they just know. So yeah, it's a great journey to be on.
Yeah. Thank you for creating the journey, making this road for so, so many boys, so many families, so that they can, whatever they want to do, they can.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to put it in there, but we have to keep spreading that message of stopping people from saying that a boy can't or shouldn't do something because they are male, because actually a boy can do anything and still be a boy. It does not determine anything. So just, we need to keep pushing that for our sons, just to keep saying that they can, you can do anything at all.
Bravo. Thank you so much, Sassy.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to come back next year and see where I am. it's like my way of reminiscing and seeing how far, how much we've done as well. It's great.
Yeah.
So thank you.
We're looking forward to that, and we look forward to seeing what unfolds this year.
Thanks for joining On Boys, real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men.